Blog Talk Radio.
Pour yourself a cup of tea, put your feet up, and relax. Show host Randy Fine, narcissistic abuse expert, compassionate counselor for clients worldwide, and author of the groundbreaking new book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, invites you into her sanctuary, a place where your emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being are all that matters. Time to Heal is a fundraising single written and performed by Johnny Z for the Amy Winehouse Foundation. For more information, please go to johnnymusic.com, johnnymusic.com. And now, it's time to meet Randy, show host of the podcast enjoyed by fans around the globe, A Fine Time for Healing.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk show host, Randy Fine. Today is Christmas Eve. I wish you all a very, very Merry Christmas if you're celebrating that. Hanukkah started a few days ago. If you are celebrating that, have a wonderful, wonderful holiday. Am I going to see you before the new year? Yeah, I think I have another show before the new year. But if I don't see you, I wish you a very, very happy new year. So there has been a resurgence of interest in the mystical arts, especially palmistry, which is practiced worldwide. References to palmistry can be found in media outlets, movies, and mainstream music. Today's special guest, Helen Saucedo, or Saucedo, is a hand analyst who provides private readings out of her vintage camper and travels the country with her craft, lecturing and reading at shops and at events. She lives in Atlanta, Georgia. Helene has created a do-it-yourself palmistry kit called Handful of Stars, a palmistry guidebook and hand printing kit. And we're going to talk about this kit. It's really beautiful and wonderful and fun. So I'm going to introduce Helene now, and then we can get started. So let me bring her on. Good morning,
Hi.
Helene. Welcome to A Fine Time for Healing. Hi. How are you?
Good
Welcome.
Morning. I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
Sure. It's my absolute pleasure. So let's just talk a little bit about palmistry and how you got involved in it.
Sure. So yesterday, December 23rd, was the two-year anniversary of my journey into palm reading. I first did it December 23rd at a Christmas pop-up shop, and I was kind of in a place where I was looking for my next step in life, like a lot of people who go to palm readers are in that spot. But my background is graphic design and art direction, but I had a child, and that mobile listening was just in a very transformative stage in my life. So
I'm having a hard time understanding you.
Okay, can you hear me right now?
Say that again. Yeah, it's just that your words are kind of jumbling. Okay.
In a can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes, okay. I was in a transformative period of my life where I had gotten a divorce and I had a very young child. And my background was graphic design and art direction. But I did not want to go back into that field because it was very time consuming and it just wasn't what was making me happy anymore. So palm reading was an idea that I had with a friend of mine while I was getting my hair done, and I was thinking about all the things that Atlanta, my hometown, has in terms of metaphysical practitioners and modalities. We have the Reiki, we have tarot, we have, astrologists everywhere. But I was going to take a trip to New Orleans, and I just had this thought, like, where are the palm readers? Like, what even is that? So I went to New Orleans, and I got my palm read, and then I decided to teach myself, and I did it, like I said, for the first time, December 23rd, 2017, and I did it with this sheet that I created that is in the book that is now being sold, and the sheet was designed to just make palm reading very visually accessible and break it down into pieces so that anybody could do it. And it was really designed as a cheat sheet for myself, but people just loved it, and I followed the wave to where I am now.
Wow, you know, we never know where we're going to end up in life. It's amazing how how we're just led into these things. Yeah.
I certainly never thought I was going to be reading palms out of a camper.
And traveling the world in a camper, right? traveling
yeah, right.
the country in a camper.
Uh-huh.
So what can, I know palmistry has been around since ancient times. What can palmistry tell us, and how accurate is it?
Palmistry, my style of palmistry, which is, it could be different than other styles of palmistry, but I practice a very Western, practical and modern style. And really, it's a lot of personality, profiling, and life path things, because the lines work on a timeline. So I can look and do different markers and say, oh, this might have happened when you were this age. But overall, it's not fortune-telling like you imagine when you first hear of palm reading. It's looking at your whole hand from different perspectives and what it's saying about your personality and who you are, where you're going. So it's not fortune-telling, no future stuff usually.
Okay.
And it
tends
to be pretty accurate, which is why I do pretty well as a palm reader, because we're spread. I get told all the time, I can't believe you saw that. Or I've heard that from other practitioners or other types of readers. Like, the same messages always seem to come through, no matter the modality.
That's so interesting. Yes. And we're going to get into in a second the different markings of the hand. But I wanted to talk about your kit because it's really beautiful.
Thank you.
It's actually the colors that I love. It's this beautiful purple trimmed in black. It comes in a box with the roller and the ink and a marker and the book and sheets where we can practice this for ourselves. And it's got like the box has a little magnet on it, so it all fits in there real nice and tidy, and it's just beautiful. You designed this very well. I like it.
Thank you. Yeah, my design background was very it came into play with this because it came from HarperCollins. That was the publisher, but it is their design imprint. So I was very happy with how beautiful it turned out. But it's exactly the sheet that I created. It's everything you need to be able to print your hand and then break it down into a reading that builds upon itself.
Yes. So I was going through it this morning and just, trying to get some kind of feel for who I was. It was a little, not so easy. I really needed more time. I needed more time to figure this out.
Okay.
So how does the kit work, first of all? How do we do this?
So you open the box. There's a guidebook that is sitting on top of the tools. So you just start by opening the guidebook. It gives you a little history introduction. It tells you what's going to happen. And then it walks you through how to print your hand using the ink onto the sheet. And then just step by step, it takes you through every little piece of the palm reading that is notated on that sheet. So The first thing is going to be the flexibility of your hand. And so you would pull backwards on your fingers to see how flexible your wrist is to determine how adaptable you are in your day-to-day life. Another piece that we look at is the size of your thumb to measure determination. And then there's other pieces on the sheet in terms of the mounts, which are different archetypes that are held in the fleshy pieces that go around the inside of your palm. And then the elemental shape of your hand is really fun to look into as well, because it can tie in with your astrology in terms of what element represents your sign. So there's fire, earth, air, water. And then the lines are the very last piece that the reading will go through, because they can be pretty specific. And I think by the time you get to the lines, you might see themes pop up, and that can be pretty cool to see it all wrap up. And then the very last piece of the guidebook will show you how to compare the two hands, which can be a lot, but it gives you the basic gist of it.
Okay. And then there are, and with the mounts, so I was looking at my hand, and you, when you look at the hand, you see the bump that's before that finger, and then it's either spongy or it's firm, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the things we look for. Yeah. So
yeah.
I wanted to ask you, I don't have fingerprints. I mean, I think I might. Yes, they're not printable. It's really, really strange. I don't know where they went. Yes. So I can see it on my index finger a little bit. And I can see it on my thumbs a little bit. My other fingers, I cannot see it at all. And when they try to digital print me, nothing shows up.
That's
so I could be the perfect criminal, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that fascinating?
Yeah, and you know what? I don't know. I don't know why. I have not actually heard of that. I am into fingerprints, and that is not included in the book, because that's just a whole other thing. In fact, there is a method of examining your life purpose through your fingerprints. There's a book called Life Prints by Richard Unger, and it's fascinating. But yeah, that's pretty interesting, because I look at fingerprints when I do readings, and if I couldn't see yours, I don't know what I would interpret.
So yeah, and my mother-in-law actually said she doesn't have them either, which is kind of strange. So I met someone that's like me, but you know, it just fits in with so many things I talk about. Talk about myself on this show, and you know how I really have not fit into this this earthly plane very well. So I could very well be an alien or alien something.
You know what? This is a theme. This is a theme in my life right now. I think I've met 4 people in the past couple of weeks who have said the same thing. So I'm starting to wonder how many of us actually are human.
Yes. You know, I mean, I don't know if the ancestry is alien. I'm not really sure. But this earth just does not suit me physically, mentally, emotionally, nothing. Anyway, let's get back into palm reading. So your book is called, your kit is called Handful of Stars, the Palmistry Guidebook and Hand Printing Kit. So this is meant for us to do it ourselves. Now, there are 4 major lines of the hands, the heart, the head, life, stability. And what do these represent?
They represent different pieces of who we are, what makes us who we are. So the heart line, which is the top line on the hand, is your emotional self. So I would judge that very visually by how deep the line is, the shape of the line, how much activity is on the line. Those pieces will all say different parts about who you are and your emotional style. Your head line is going to be your mental self. So same thing, the shape, the depth, certain marks on it will have a narrative to say about who you are mentally and how you approach life in terms of problem solving and and how open-minded you are, etc. And then your lifeline is the line that swings around your thumb that has that, you know, terrible misconception of telling when you're going to die, which is not what it does whatsoever. I say it measures vitality. So it works on the timeline, and when the line is really dark and solid, that's when you're feeling really stable. But if it does fade or if it's short, that can mean, like, you know, you're having a bit of a hard time, or you don't have the foresight, or you don't know what you want in your future, or that kind of thing. And then your line of stability usually shoots up the center of the hand, and that is stability in terms of career and finance and just how safe you feel in the world. So big shifts in how you create your life in terms of like day to day. If you have a big career change or a big move across the country, you will see that line have jumps or breaks in it along this timeline. So the lines alone can show you a lot.
Right, right.
And there are so many more lines.
Mm-hmm. What are the minor lines?
We have affection lines, which are relationships. We have spirit guides, which are, you know, the energies that are watching us. We can have healer's marks. We have a line of health. We can have a line of Saturn. We can have multiple lifelines. There's many lines all over the hands, and not everybody has all of those. So that's why in the book I just really focused on understanding the four main lines.
Okay. So let's go back a little bit and talk about the thumb and what it tells us. What are some of the things that the thumb can tell us, and how would you look at it? How do you look at the thumb?
You could read the thumb for hours, but the way that I look at it through my style, I try to be very efficient. So the size of the thumb is determined by where it hits on the bottom, what's called phalange of the first finger. It kind of looks like there's a little inch mark on the bottom part of your first finger. If it hits in the center of that, then that's a standard size thumb, and that's standard determination. If it's large, that's somebody who really like doesn't like to be told no, who is extremely just focused and determined to get what they want. A small thumb can be a dreamer, somebody who might get a little bit, might be easily overwhelmed. I also look at decision-making style in the thumb. If you look closely, if you give yourself a thumbs up, you can see there is a line in the center of the thumb, and I read the top little inch-looking part as logic and the bottom part underneath that center line as will. So the way that they're visually in proportion with each other will communicate if you're more of a planner or more of a risk-taker by just visually which part is larger. I also do a trick where you shake your hand out and hold it up like very casually and look at the angle that you hold your thumb. And if it's held close to the hand, it can be someone who's more of an introvert. But if it's held wide open so it looks like you're making an L, that's going to be an extrovert. And so anything in between those two angles, you know, could be an ambivert or an extroverted introvert, et cetera, et cetera. So there is a lot on the thumb. And that is part of what I call hand analysis. So you think of palm reading, that's usually just the lines and the mounts. But when you modern palm readers call themselves hand analysts, it's because we're looking at more than just those things. We're looking at your thumb. We're looking at the shape of your hand. We're looking at other characteristics other than the lines and the mounts.
And as far as the shape of the hand goes, okay, so I have an earth hand. What are some of the other hands? I determined that based on the measure, you know, the way that you show me to calculate it in the book. So what does an earth hand mean, and what are some of the other ones?
So, you know, we have four elements represented in the hand, just like with astrology: earth, air, fire, water. And they represent the same kind of traits that they would in astrology. So earth hands and earth signs are overall more practical, more grounded, more stable, trustworthy. They try to keep their lives, you know, organized, maybe a little more simple. Water hands, just like water signs, are going to be more emotional people, more sensitivity, usually very empathic, moody. I'm a Cancer, so I'm definitely a water sign, and I have a water hand. Then there is fire, and fire is anxiousness, restlessness, quickness, movement, action, sometimes reactive. And then air, same thing, air hands, air signs, adaptable, intellectual. So they can line up, and I still really am interested in seeing and talking to people about how the shape of their hand does relate to their natal chart. And I have found out some things. A lot of times your hand is shaped like your moon sign instead of your sun sign. So that's been pretty fascinating.
Wow. This is so cool.
I know.
Okay. And then let's talk about the different mounts. So okay. I think mine is the mount of Jupiter because I only have one bump and it's at the base of my index finger. So
and
that is the mount of Jupiter.
And you can see your fingerprint on that finger, correct? Is that one of the fingerprints
a little bit,
that you said? You
a little bit,
kind of
yes.
I've also been looking into that recently, the fingerprints and how they relate to the mount. But, okay, so the bump under your first finger, if that's the one that's more dominant, yes, that is Jupiter. And the mounts are representative of different Greek and Roman gods and goddesses and the archetypes that those gods and goddesses exemplifies. So Jupiter was the god of gods, so he represents on the hand a leader or determination, somebody who's ambitious, either leading people or leading an idea or just needing to, you need to be your own boss, that kind of situation. So again, it's an interpretive art. You just start with like the nugget of what it means, and then you can think about what it means in terms of who you are. So Saturn, which is underneath third finger, Saturn was a very fair ruler. So that mount represents work life and balance in life. The fourth finger is my favorite one because that mount, if you hold up your hand and have it flat in front of your eyes, it will look like a little butt because it's actually two mounts. So it's two little holes next to each other. And that is... again, Apollo. And Apollo was the god of music and medicine and the arts. So if you have Apollo, which a lot of people that get palm readings do, it's someone who's creative and or a healer, very open-minded, needs to, you know, just really be active in a creative field or is helpful to other people in some way. Under the pinky finger, that is Mercury. Mercury was a winged messenger, so that is communication. Not always verbal. It can be somebody who is like a critical thinker or a problem solver or an advocate of a belief. And then at the base of the hand, next to the thumb, we have Venus. And Venus is love, but I always say it's not just like cheesy Valentine's Day love. It's somebody who's really looking to experience life, find the beauty in life, you know, kind of pleasure-based. So really... being into food or culture, music, arts again, that kind of thing. And then Luna is on the bottom side of the palm, on the pinky side. And that's going to be all the magic. So intuition, spirituality, imagination. And then the last mount that is pretty rare is called Mars. And it's in the center of both outsides of the hand. So that's going to probably need a visual reference. It's kind of in the center of both outsides. So it's above Luna, it's above Venus, but on the outside of the hand. And that's going to be a warrior, someone who's really brave, resilient. Those are pretty easy for most people to visualize because you just hold your hand up and see which ones are bigger. It can be one. It can be all. I would say most of the time it's two or three. And it's interesting because Luna and Venus on the bottom of your hand, if you hold your hand straight up and those ones are pretty large and it looks like your hand has all its weight down there, then that's somebody who's very deep, very emotional, when more of the practical world type stuff is on the upper mount. So when we were talking about, you know, work ethic and leading and creating and communicating. So that can be pretty interesting as well, to just look at the hand in terms of amount in sections.
So cool. We have a caller. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if the caller has a question or is just listening. So let's check and see.
Okay.
Oh, hi. Happy holidays.
Good morning.
Hi.
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 Good morning. Did you have a question for Helene or a comment?
No, I was just listening. But, you know, one time, because I've always been fascinated by hand readings, and a friend of mine and I went for one, and I always found this really interesting. She was a preemie, and the reader said it had affected her lifeline. Like, it looked like she wasn't even, like, here.
Oh,
so I don't know. That just came to my mind. Yeah.
I can see birth stuff, like, at the very beginning of the lifeline on top of your thumb. If there's a star there, that can be some kind of trauma of you coming into the world. But that's really interesting that they looked at that and said, why are you here?
Yeah.
Yeah, super cool. And there's a difference, but they're the same on both hands. Do you remember?
I don't remember. It was a while ago.
Yeah, so oftentimes our right hand is our dominant hand, and that is who we are now. But the left hand is kind of this, like, future hand. And in situations like that where there's been a huge change in life path, it can be very different. So I wonder if one of her hands kind of showed this, oh, you really weren't supposed to be here. And the other hand showed the complete opposite, like, I'm here, I'm great.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay, so you want to keep listening. I'll just put you back on hold, and you can just keep listening. Okay.
Thank you both so much, and happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Thank you. Thanks.
Thanks
for your comment. I appreciate it. Okay. Okay. She's going back on hold. So what I wanted to ask you is, for instance, I mean, I can only relate this to me and my situation, right? Because I don't have all my listeners' hands in front of me. But sometimes my questions might spark interest in other people. So my daughter and I have the exact same shaped hands and feet, okay? She's much more petite than I am, okay? But so the hands, but the lines would probably be different. She's not here, and I would not know that. But she's 34.
Okay. So I've read a lot of families and even twins and brother, sister, mother, or, you know, mother, daughter, daughter's daughter. And genetics do play a role in a lot of pieces in our hands, like you said, like the shape and the size. But when you look at the life path held in the lines and the mounts and other characteristics, they're often completely different. So it can be a bit tricky. But I keep proving it over and over. In fact, when I read these twins, these ladies, they were in their 30s, and the shapes of their hands, general look, appearance, you know, kind of skin and all that was the same, but their life path was completely different. They were like completely different individuals. So it was fascinating. They sat there and listened to each other. So their childhood is marked on everybody's hands, and they had a lot of the same things in that part of their life. But then when they went out and became adults, there was a completely different story told in their hands.
That's remarkable.
I have a 4-year-old daughter, and so I'm I have my own little experiment because I'm watching how her hands evolve. And right now I've been reading her hand, looking at her hands since she was 2, but they're super simple because she hasn't really, you know, she doesn't have her identity yet. So I don't even look at kids' hands if a parent wants to just have some fun, but I won't tell them anything, you know, that's too deep until someone is probably 16, 18. But under that, there's still so much that's developing, and you do have a lot of your parent stuff. So I have so many stories. I read this one mother and their like 3-year-old son, and the mother had a broken lifeline, and it made a lot of sense because she'd had a very traumatic experience I think as her son was in utero, like she was pregnant, and the son had the same exact mark in the same place on his hand. But I promise you, in 10 years, that's not going to be there. Right now, it's just he's got his mom's stuff marked on him because he's so, so little.
It's, you know, I'm trying to wrap my head around how a line forms based on experiences and personality. Do you have any idea how that happened?
That is, you know what, that's kind of where imagination comes in and something I've been thinking about. So there are clinical studies of the markings on our hands. The fingerprints form 5 months before we're born. And the general lines do as well. Some people think the lines are formed with how they're curled up in the uterus, but they do change over time. That is for certain. If you saw my hands, they're very, very complicated, all the lines and things on them. So when I talk about the hands changing, I talk about it in a way that it's not a Harry Potter map. It's not glow in the dark and like magic is happening in our sleep. I think it's a very slow transformation that happens with the regeneration of our bodies. And so a lot of people come and they have a lot of fun doing a palm reading and they're like, can I get another one in a week? And unfortunately for me, no, it's going to take some time. And that's another reason I like this hand printed sheet, because I like to think that people will lose it and then find it 10 years from now and look at their hands and see differences. So I'm experimenting with all that as well, because yes, I've learned from other palm readers and I've read all the books and things like that, but I like to see firsthand myself how the hands will change and evolve over time.
So would it be year to year, year to year or every 5 years or what do you think?
I think it changes as you change. So if you're somebody that just, you know, has a day job and is pretty stable and, you know, does a day in, day out, like kind of routinely, I don't think the hands are going to change very much. But if you're somebody that's, you know, an entrepreneur and moves around a lot, that kind of thing, your hands are probably going to change. So it's all relative to who you are.
So it'd be really interesting for us to sort of take pictures of our hands now and then compare it to, you know, another time. That would be really cool to see how the lines change. So what other stories do you have, that interesting stories do you have to tell us?
Oh, gosh, I have so many stories. In fact, on Instagram, I started to do something called Tales of a Palm Reader, which is kind of me teaching the basics of palmistry through the stories that I hear, because honestly, palm reading it's just storytelling. And it's cathartic storytelling for people, because they'll look at the hands and say, oh, this is a kind of vague idea of what's happening here, but how does that relate to your life? And they're like, oh, that makes so much sense. So this last Sunday, I was working at a pop-up and I was doing a reading, and it was a non-binary person, and so they were ageless, so that was a little hard for me because I work on these timelines. But I said, okay, growing up, your lifeline and your headline are tied together for a lot longer than most people's are. So in the beginning of the life and the headline on top of your thumb, if they start as one, it's usually somebody who is more children or just has kind of a typical upbringing, or if those two lines are separate, it can be somebody who is more mentally independent, and that can be because of environmental circumstances that make you grow up and realize some things ahead of your peers, or it can be a military kid, something like that. But this person had their headline and lifeline wrapped up for like a good inch and a half into their hand, which is very rare. And I said, what's going on? So usually I would say this is somebody who's sheltered, but this is like more than that. And it turned out their parents and them were in a religious cult. And where the lines opened was when this person was about 18 years old and had to flee. So it really told that whole story. And I could feel it by looking at their hand, like how controlling that first, 18 years of their life was. So stories like that are very interesting. And also, I had looked at their arm, and they had a skeleton hand holding a burning church in like a snow globe type situation. And the first thing I saw when I saw this person was like, oh, that tattoo's so cool. And then I got to learn the story of it by looking at the hand. So I love things like that. I read at the Bust Craftacular in New York City a couple weekends ago, and same thing. I was looking at somebody's childhood, and there was a huge, what's called island. It just looks like a big circle or a bubble. And I said, there was something that made you feel unsafe or unsecure, like there was something that was happening around you when you were very young. Do you know what that is? And she was like, oh, I'm from Germany. That's when the Berlin Wall came down. So I really, really enjoy those kinds of things where it makes sense, especially to that person, because I feel like then they form a connection with their body of their life story. Once I saw broken headlines, like if there's a break in a headline, that can mean, sometimes it can mean the time of depression or trauma, things like that. But I was reading in Salem, Massachusetts with this one guy, and I said, what was happening when you were 20 years old? Like there's this huge break in your headline. And he said, well, I got in a car accident and I literally broke my skull. And I don't need to laugh.
Oh, my gosh.
It's just the coincidences just blow my mind, you know?
That's amazing. Which one is the headline?
Yeah.
The top one?
The headline is the one in the center.
Wait, I didn't hear that. Wait, that again. I didn't hear it.
Oh.
Okay.
The top line is your heart line, and the one underneath it is your headline.
Okay. Okay, cool. And you can tell ages as the line progresses, or you sort of divide it up and you can see where, what age is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So
what
the timelines are in my The timelines are in my book.
Hmm. Well, I'm examining my hand. I never really looked at it before.
I know. That's what everyone says. I've never looked at my hand for this long before. But like I said, my hands, actually, I have a ton of lines on my hands, like more than most people, and I always was teased about them growing up. People would say, oh, you have, old lady hands. And now I love them because I know what they mean. I am.
Right. So does the top of our hand have any meaning, or it's all palm?
I look at the fingerprints. You can look into as much as you want on a hand. There are lots of books that go into the shape of the fingers, the cuticles, fingernails, everything, arm hair. You can really dive down and analyze to, as much as you like. But my style is really, I want to provide an efficient way that gives us helpful information. Instead of really trying to, I think there's enough coming at us in the pressures of the world than, making our arm hair, finding a meaning in our arm hair. So that's very much
right.
My style. There are a lot of other styles, but.
Right. Yeah. Some people are, some people are seekers and they just want to know so much information.
Right.
And what I've learned from doing this show for so many years is that, it's good to have the information. It's not good to rely on it. It's better to rely on our intuition and move forward in our life rather than being addicted to readings and things like that.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. And so that's why I'm so careful, is because some people will hold on to every word, and oftentimes they're not holding on to the good stuff. They're holding on to the negative stuff, and I really believe that, the things that you tell a person if they're in a vulnerable situation and you're a reader can kind of ripple out to affect their lives. So I really try to make sure that I am saying things in a way that is, empowering or practical instead of any kind of judgment. And that's why I stay away from reading too deeply into all of the things. Because I know that if there's one thing that pushes a button, that's going to stick with somebody. And when I do palm readings, I always ask when I first meet somebody, have you had your palm read before? And sometimes I hear those stories of, yes, I did, and they told me this thing, and I'll never forget it, and I've just, like, been worried for 10 years, you know?
Oh, yeah, that's awful. And
yeah.
And we do have will in this life. So
yes.
There may be a
yes.
pattern, but we can change that, right?
Yes. Yes, that is exactly. I say that we are in control of whatever is on our hands. It is not in control of us. So even on the back of my book, it says your destiny is in your hands. But honestly, it kind of has a twofold meaning. You could look at it as in, yes, your hands are holding your destiny. But I think we hold it in our, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's up to us, ultimately.
Yes. Yes, I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree. This is really, really interesting. And it's amazing, you know, how on target this has been, you know, in the readings that you've done. Was
yeah.
there any other stories that you wanted to share with that you thought was really cool?
Yeah, I like to talk about this one line that I kind of discovered. So a lot of my journey has not been about being psychic. I'm often asked that, like, are you psychic? And I do believe my intuition has grown so much stronger through doing readings for 2 years now, and I'm sure I have a lot more growth to go. But it's my journey, the magic of it, has really come from putting some pieces together through my conversations and the people I've gotten to read. So there was one day that I read two mediums in one day. One of them was a very popular one here in Atlanta named Jamie Butler. And one was more of an underground, like it was just something she kind of had the aptitude to do, but she wasn't doing it as a business. And on both of their hands, I was looking in this space where spirit guides live, which is right on the outside underneath your first finger. There will be a little grouping of lines. Some people have just like three lines. Some people have four, maybe two, maybe one. But both of their hands had what looked like a Y. It was a line with an opening at the end. And I was thinking, what does that mean? I've just seen this with two different people who are both mediums to channel from the other side, and this is where spirit guides are. So I kind of had this little epiphany that, oh, that must be, you know, the mark of a medium. That must mean you have a connection to the other side. So I started using that on people or asking them, you know, if I saw that mark, I'd say, does this make sense to you? Do you connect to that? Does it resonate? And I kept getting validation. So that's been a little bit of a part of my journey, too, is just kind of experimenting with what things mean, trying it with different people and having an open conversation. And that's been incredibly rewarding. That's another one of my favorites.
These lines, are these the diagonal lines that are under the forefinger, the pointer?
They're horizontal.
They're horizontal. Oh,
they
can okay.
Be a bit, yeah, they cut. Yeah.
Minor diagonal.
Oh, see, I just realized that I'm looking at mine right now, and I just realized that I have that mark. I never realized that before.
Oh,
I'm so busy looking
oh
at other
my gosh.
That I don't really look at my own.
Wow.
Yeah, if you're holding your hand straight up, they're horizontal lines usually. But, you know, once you know the basics of what that means, and then you're like, okay, but they're diagonal, then that's the fun you get to have with, okay, you know, what does that mean? Just like with tarot cards, you learn the basic symbols and colors and meanings, and then you have to apply it to your own life. And that's where, you know, it gets tricky, but I love those kinds of puzzles.
So you're based in Atlanta?
I am. I've lived in Atlanta for 5 years, and I love it. I'm not planning on leaving.
and so you do these readings at, you know, at events and shows and things like that. Is that generally where you do them, or you have sort of a home-based situation
I
where
have,
you read?
Yes. I have a 1955 Dalton vintage camper, and I call her Despacita, because it means slowly, because if I take her on the road, she gets real shaky. So I do private readings out of her, and she's parked in my backyard in Grant Park, Atlanta, Georgia, and she is pink and very light and kind of unicorn themed on the inside, so that is kind of my shtick of getting people to be open to palm reading, as I'm like, oh, but look how cute this is. Come in. Don't be scared. But I take her to events or festivals, and I also just go to them myself without the camper sometimes. But yeah, I also do parties and weddings and whatever.
How long does it take you to read a hand in general?
In general, at 20, mm-hmm. if I don't do it with the sheet, I could do a good reading in, I've gotten pretty fast, 20 minutes. And that's kind of giving myself some time. So sometimes I do back-to-back readings at, like if I'm paid to work a holiday party and they're like, we want you for 3 hours, I will schedule 15 minutes back-to-back for that whole 3 hours. And I just go, and that can be a lot. A lot of readers are like, are you crazy? But I've really gotten it down to, you know, it's kind of the method that I developed of just, this is what I need to know. This is what I know will, you know, resonate or the questions that I know to ask. So 15 minutes without the hand read sheet, I would say would be a pretty good reading. But it took me a long time. The first night I did palm reading, I was spending like an hour and not getting, getting anywhere. So it's practice.
Excuse me. So let's talk a little bit about your kit. This is beautiful. Hold on 1 second. Okay, clearing my throat. Where can we get this beautiful box of do-it-yourself hand printing?
So the Handful of Stars Palmistry Guidebook and Hand Printing Kit is available on Amazon. It's available on Anthropologie. Picked it up, but I think they might have sold out. Urban Outfitters. TJ Maxx and Marshalls.com just picked it up recently. Barnes & Noble, Books A Million. So a lot of the, most of the main stores have it, but a lot of independents will have it as well. So it just depends on who you want to support.
So you're doing well with this. Wow. You've gotten great exposure.
It just came out October 15th, so it's still a very new little baby out in the world, and I'm just, yeah, all I can do is kind of wish it its best, and I'm very happy with what's happening. But I think the reason it's beautiful is just timing. You know, we're all in this space where we want to do some self-reflection and step away from our phones for a minute and dive deeper. And also, this a palmistry kit like this has never been released, so it's kind of a fun. I saw it amongst my friends' board games the other day, and I thought that was kind of cool. I'm like, yeah, it is kind of like a game. You have your friends over, you put your hands, and, you know, laugh about what it means and call each other out, and I love doing parties because of that. Yeah, it can be a really great kind of connecting, bonding tool for friends. And so, yeah, I'm super happy with how it's doing, and I hope it continues to do well.
And it's Christmas Eve, so for those listeners who have a gift to get for somebody who is into things like this, you know, self, you know, just self-growth and things like that. This would be a great gift to go pick up. So run out to the to the bookstore and pick
yes,
this up. You'll
yogis.
See it.
It's just, I'll tell you, if there's a yogi yeah. in your life, you don't know what to get. Yogis love it.
Right. So it's black and purple, and it's about, let's see, it's about 2.5 to 3 inches high, and you cannot miss it. It's just sitting there. It's sitting there beautiful on the shelf. So I love it. I'm glad that I have a kit. I haven't had a chance to actually do my print, but I'm going to. I just was looking this morning.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And like you can just do that, but also I have a trick. If you buy the kit and the ink seems a little like dry, just adding a little bit of water will wake it up.
Okay, perfect. Well, Helene, thank you. It's been such a pleasure having you with me today. I love this topic, and I'm so happy
much.
To hear that you're doing well with this.
Thank you.
So have a wonderful day. Have a very happy holiday, and a happy new year. Take care.
All right. You too. You too. Thank you so much for having
you.
Me. I appreciate it.
Sure.
All right.
Okay. Bye-bye. So we are out of time today, but if you have any comments or questions about today's show, you can email me at loveyourlife@randyfine.com. May joy and serenity always be yours. Happy holidays.